Man, that feels good. I was when I said good morning, I didn't know what was going to come out. That's the way my voice has been this week. So I've been like exercising my voice. But the problem was, as I was trying to sing, and that was aggravating it. So, but I wanted to sing just like everybody else. And so I kept trying. And so I didn't know what was going to happen when I said good morning. But it's working. Amen. What's that? Okay, great, great. I will struggle with it. I've been struggling with it for over a week, but it is getting better, so that's a real blessing, that's for sure. Had it been Wednesday, just forget it. Somebody else would have been preaching this morning. That might have been a blessing in itself, you know, but anyway. My sermon this morning is called Loyal, and it is the first in several messages that I'm going to be preaching, God willing. From 1 Corinthians and then also 2 Corinthians. I'll be preaching those two books, God willing, as far as that's concerned. And so that's where we're headed. Last week was an introduction to it. And so this is actually, this will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 is what we'll cover this morning. So we'll learn God's word from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. The reason why I call it loyal, I think it'll make more sense, but one of the things that's going to become very clear, and I know that I sound like a broken record a lot of times when I do preach because I preach a lot about the local church. But I preach a lot about the local church because I almost sometimes feel like a voice in the wilderness when it comes to the local church, because we hear so many songs and we hear so many things about the church. But there's so much more to it than that. I mean, when we all get to heaven, amen. The church. But what I want to say is one of the things that happens here on the earth is we do have local churches. Local churches are actually taking a shot these days. Some of it is due to preachers and those things. And so we want to try to be careful about that. But I just want to say that part of our loyalty to Christ is through a local church. And when we look at 1 Corinthians, certainly it's one of those books that's being spoken to a local New Testament church. That's what's happening there. And so the message is to them, but the message is also to us. But anyway, the name Loyal, and the reason that why I call it Loyal is we are to value. When we are loyal to something, we value something. We love something. If I love somebody, or if I love my job, or whatever, or I value it, and we should value our jobs, amen? And they're kind of important. But when we value something, we find ourselves being loyal to it, that's for sure. And as a Christian, we're tied to Jesus. We're tied to Jesus. I want to be loyal to Jesus, but not just because I should be, but because I love Him. And I appreciate what He does for me. You know, we were singing that one song, What a Beautiful Name, and Jesus. But the important part of that is also Christ Jesus. Because a lot of times you'll see the Word of God mention Christ Jesus is the anointed one, the anointed Jesus, the one and only. And that's a really beautiful name when you think about that. And when you think about Him being the one and only and the anointed one, that's certainly something that we can be loyal to. Now, a church is a fellowship. We've talked about this. And here we are talking about it again, but a church is a fellowship. And so one of the things that I will say as far as us actually serving Jesus properly is through a local New Testament church. I had a conversation with a person a couple weeks ago, and they said, you know, actually, I don't need a church. I don't need a church to have a relationship with Jesus. And you certainly don't in order to be born again. You don't. You can be born again anywhere. I was saved on the side of the road. I didn't need to be in a church service in order to be saved. But what I want to tell you is that as far as the fellowship is concerned, a church is incremental in our growth and as far as our fellowship is concerned. When we talk about that, our relationship with Jesus is strengthened through a local church, or at least it's supposed to be. If it's not, the church is probably not doing what it's supposed to be doing, that's for sure. But anyway, when we talk about loyalty, obviously marriage is one of those things that certainly we want to include loyalty. Amen? You know, when we talk about marriages, we expect loyalty. But when we look at that, trust is necessary. Trust is necessary in a marriage, isn't it? If anybody says, no, I don't really, then just be quiet, right? We need to be able to trust our mates, but we need to be able to trust each other. We need to be able to trust, the people that we're loyal to and those things, right? But let me just say this. We can trust Jesus. We can certainly trust Jesus. He's very trustworthy. He's completely trustworthy. God is completely trustworthy as far as that's concerned. But when we talk about fellowship in a church, that also includes things like trust. And also in a local New Testament church, accountability. Accountability. One of the things that actually has kept me in line for my entire adult life is accountability. When I was a youth pastor, I wanted to be faithful to God, and I wanted to be trustworthy to God to actually see that ministry done right. That's the way that I feel as a pastor. That's the way that I feel as a husband. That's the way that I feel as a father, as a dad. I should say it that way, right? We want to be trustworthy, that's for sure, and accountable. We want to be dependable. We want to be dependable. And all of these words go into loyalty. And then also there's a commitment even through challenges. So when we talk about serving God, there's got to be a commitment to our serving God. And one of the things that a church does is we have a commitment to God and we have a commitment to each other, and it's cyclical. There's what I will call today a fellowship circle, where it's God, church, and individuals all together in one accord as far as that's concerned. We talk so much about unity. We talk so much about unity in a church, and we need unity, and we need truth. And I just want to tell you there's one thing and one thing that's so important as far as unity and truth in a church, and that's Jesus Christ being the center point part of it. Jesus Christ and His Word. And so whenever Jesus Christ is the focal point of a local New Testament church, and when His Word is the focal point along with that, then we can have what we really call true unity, and we can have certainly truth, that's for sure. Anyway, here's what I want to say next before an introduction, before I really get going. A local New Testament church and churches are something that's from the mind of Jesus. I just want to leave that here right now. It's not like something that a bunch of Christians got together and said, hey, why don't we all just meet on Sunday and we'll have a preacher and we'll have a congregation and those kind of things. I know that sometimes people like to think of it that way, but it's really from the mind of Jesus Himself. So why do I say that? I say that because there's so many people that go, I don't need it. I need Jesus, but I don't need church. And what I want to say is if you need Jesus, you need the church because it's something that He invented. It's something that He invented. And get this, I totally understand the fact that we are imperfect in a church. But I got to tell you, I can be sitting in a church and be imperfect. I can be sitting at home and still be imperfect. It's not like suddenly I don't need the church, so now I'm in perfection. So one of the exercises that happens in a church is that we have our imperfections that we work out together through accountability and through the truth of God's Word. That's for sure. And so when we actually start going through 1 Corinthians, we're going to be looking at a very imperfect church. A very imperfect church. None of them are perfect. But this one certainly has some problems that you'll hear about as we work our way through it. So loyalty to Christ actually involves serving God in a church, whether people want to think so or not. So from pastors to programs, and from facilities to events, serving God with loyalty and being loyal to God is much bigger than pastors or programs, and certainly bigger than facilities or events. But those are all things that come together to actually help us and point us towards the bigger thing. Does that make sense? So my first point this morning is loyal to Christ is being accountable. Being loyal to Christ is being accountable. Now, with that being said, here's a really important thing that I want to get across as I set this up today. The word sanctified. The word sanctified. Being set apart, to actually be set apart. One of the things that happens whenever we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, whenever I hear the gospel of truth that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I'm a sinner, and He paid for my sins, and so I put my trust in Him to take away my sins, and He died on the cross and shed His precious blood to actually pay for my sins and your sins and the sins of all mankind, and then He paid that price, died, and rose again. That very gospel there, that when we look at that very gospel there, when we ask Jesus to forgive us and to be our Lord and Savior, He saves us. We become born again. We become His children. And we become sanctified. We become set apart. It's something that happened. Sanctified is used in the Word of God in a couple of ways. One of the ways it's used is to say that we are sanctified because we've been born again. But then there's the term sanctification. And the way that I would express this is like in the verse where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that I have to work for my salvation. That means I am saved, and so there's something that's on the inside that needs to be worked out. So I'm sanctified, and I go through the process of sanctification. Amen? And so it's important that we understand that. And if we are sanctified, there's a couple of things that we've got to understand about our loyalty to Jesus Christ and us being accountable to Jesus Christ. The first thing is we've been made righteous. We've been made righteous. I know the common reaction when people hear that is go, oh, no. I'm certainly not righteous. I'm certainly not righteous. People also like to go, I'm really not that bad either. And I want to just say to those people, well, which one is it? But anyway, through Jesus Christ, we are made righteous, but it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. And one way that I would express that is, like I've been studying in the last couple of weeks in the book of Revelation and looking really hard at the book of Revelation, and one of the things that I noticed is Jesus is going to present His bride as a spotless bride, a pure bride, dressed in white, pure. And so when you're talking about us as Christians, and we're spotless, we're pure. Excuse me? How does that work? It works because Jesus is righteous and He made us righteous. We are covered by His righteousness. And so the first thing that I want to get across then is the fact that we are sanctified, that we are made righteous through Jesus Christ. And so therefore there's some accountability there. He's made me righteous where I was unrighteous, where I was destined for hell. Now I'm going to heaven. Now, that ought to spark some loyalty in us, shouldn't it? I would think so. And the other thing is that we will see here in just a minute in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, is that we're told that we're saints. Listen, whenever we've been sanctified and we become children of God, we become sanctified and we also are called to be saints. I'm going to say this, and maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. A lot of times... just blurt it out before I think. I'm actually thinking about it before I say it this time. I don't need to pray to a saint. I am a saint, and you are a saint if you know Jesus Christ. I don't need to pray to them. I pray to my Father, and that's how it works. And so we are saints, and we're not someone that people pray to. We are called to be that. I'll show you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. And here it is, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So there you see it there. You see a couple of things. You see that we are sanctified, and you see that we are called to be saints. And that's a really important thing that I want you to notice there. And so when we are called by God, and we look at this here and we see that we are called to be saints, it's important that we understand when it comes to the word accountability and us serving accountability that we have a call to be saints. I want you to think about that for a moment, because a lot of times we're like going, I don't know how accountable I really want to be. I don't know how involved I really want to be. But when we've been sanctified, if you've been born again, you have been called to be a saint. And it is a call. And Paul expresses it as that. And so what that does is it does two things. It does two things. Number one, it gives us purpose in our lives. You know, everybody wants to have purpose, right? They want to be somebody. They want to change the world. They want to make a difference. And I just want to tell you that the Word of God, whenever we are called saints, we have purpose like none other. We can be a part of something where people actually are living forever. Think about that one for a moment. So we get, number one, we see that we get purpose, but we also get responsibility. Purpose and responsibility requires accountability. It does. And so we as Christians, we're sanctified and we are saints and we have responsibility and purpose. And so therefore, being loyal to Christ is going to require some accountability in our parts also. Now, I want you to look at something also that I want to stress today, and that I will be stressing, and that's in verse 2. In verse 2, in the start of verse 2, it says, to the church of God that is in Corinth. To the church of God that is in Corinth. Here's a question. Is the only church of God in Corinth? We have some people that say that in their particular group that there's a Bible verse that says, The churches welcome you and that kind of thing. And so that's the only one. Well, if that's the case, then the only one is in Corinth. But what I want you to see here in this here, it says, to the church of God that is in Corinth. This is one particular church, and this one particular church, this letter to, is at Corinth. And what I will say is here, as you sit today, it's not this building, but it's the group of people, and we're hanging out in this building. We are a particular called out church also. It's local in its scope. And so therefore, when we see this, Paul is saying something that's really important that I want us to all see. It's a God-ordained thing for us to be in a local church as far as our accountability to Jesus Christ. It is. It's not my invention. It's right here. God adds us to these places, and we have responsibility. And this is what he's saying to them. He's reminding them the things I'm getting ready to talk to you about are being addressed to you because there's responsibility there. There's accountability there. And there's purpose there. And there's fellowship there also. And so it's important that we see all of these things. Also, we see in verse 2, we see that they not only are they, here's the first thing, they are a local called out group. That's the first thing. The second thing that I want you to get out of this is not only are they a local group, but they are sanctified. They are set apart for something. A local church is set apart for something. We are set apart for something. All of us are set apart and called to do something. We're actually sanctified to do so. And what is that? To be a saint. To be a saint. That's somebody that's bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ in everything that they do. And that happens through the ministry of a church. And that's one thing that Paul is showing us here. You can put in your notes this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Put in your notes to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'll come back to 1 Corinthians, but I want to read this to you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God says, so then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. Why do I read that there? Because it goes along with what we're talking about. The Word of God is telling us that we are in Christ. We are a new creation. We are sanctified. We are sanctified as far as that's concerned. We've been made righteous. We've been made righteous. And we're joined to the process of sanctification. Since we are sanctified, there is a process that goes on in a saint's life, and that is to go through the process of sanctification. That's a very fancy way of saying we need to grow. It's a very fancy way of saying we need to grow. Well, where are we supposed to grow at? That's where the church comes in. I know there's some biblical scholars that don't need the church and that kind of thing. And all I can say is, man, they're missing some of it, aren't they? They're missing some of it to sit there and say that it's not there. And we see that because we see that part of serving is not only that we're saved, that after we're saved, then we're baptized, and then we're added to the church. Now, I've got to say this, and I know I'm chasing a rabbit here. We went to see the movie the other night and on Wednesday, and I thought the movie was really good. But I just want to tell you that we are saved without the baptismal process. And it's really clear. The baptism is something that we do to show that we've been saved. Now, I think that was pretty much cleared up, but I could see where that's being confused. But the process is that we are born again, and baptism has nothing to do with that other than the fact that we died to Jesus Christ, died to our sins and rose into newness of life as Christians. So we are a picture of baptism, and so we show it to the world in our baptism, and then the Bible tells us then we're added to a church. That's the New Testament model. That's how it's supposed to work. And so when we look at this here, we see that we are sanctified and we go through the process of sanctification through working in a church. And so this can't happen. I just got to tell you, just to say that, okay, I'll just be a member of something universal and all that kind of thing. Then how can you be accountable? It's a perfect way to be invisible. It's a perfect way to be invisible. But in a local church, there is accountability. You're not invisible. And some people go, that's what I don't like about it. But what I want to tell you is, and we better get used to this one, whether we think we're invisible or not, our Savior's watching everything that we do and knows everything that we're thinking as far as that's concerned. So we're not hiding really anyway. The Word of God in Romans tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which means we're to be an ongoing process. And so in our accountability is concerned, in our growth, and part of the responsibility of being in a church is that we are growing. Of course, it's an individual responsibility. But that's one of the beautiful things about a church, is that we are individually growing and we bring our individual growth in with another group of people and we bring it together and we help each other. That's the idea behind it. But not only that we also see that we are given particular gifts. We are not given particular gifts from the Holy Spirit, and this is one of the things that 1 Corinthians will talk about as gifts. We're not given these gifts just to feel something and experience something, you know, or show off something. It's actually the way of serving everybody else in the church. That's what the gifts are for, is for the edification of a church. They're not for anything else. That's what those gifts are for. So, if we want to talk about gifts and no need for a local church, then we got to get rid of the gifts and just talk about talented people, right? And we take the Holy Spirit completely out of it in that conversation. That's for sure. But you know what? Another thing in Ephesians that happens is it tells us that we're to build each other up also. Not only are we supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, sanctification, but we are to be built up. We are to build each other up in a church as far as that's concerned. So what am I saying? And I want to say this very carefully. But what I want to say is this. A church is more than a place to have a funeral. A church is more than a place to have a wedding at. A church is more than those particular things as far as that's concerned. A church is more than just a place to obtain more business clients as far as that's concerned. Is it okay for somebody that's in business to be able to do business with somebody else in the church? Of course it is. Do we want to have weddings in a church? Absolutely we do. We certainly do. Man, I'd like to do more weddings. I really would. My ratio to funerals to weddings right now is really off. And not only that, but baby dedications. I'd like to see some more of those. You know? That would be wonderful. Baby dedications are wonderful. There's so much hope in that. There's hope in a funeral, though, too, if they know Jesus Christ. There is. But what I want to say is we're not just a museum. We're a called-out organism that's actually growing together and glorifying God together and being sanctified together and going forward together and accomplishing great things together. And so, therefore, being loyal to Jesus Christ in that call brings forth accountability in all of our lives. Certainly, there's accountability in my life, right? And that's the way that it's supposed to be. And it's not a heavy, burdensome thing. We hear people go, man, that's none of their business and that kind of thing. And I just want to say that it's actually okay to have help. It's okay. People act like, man, a crutch is a negative thing, but break your leg and go without a crutch. Right? Try it. It's not that much fun or anything. That crutch is really helpful, isn't it? And life is a broken thing. Life is a great big broken leg. And we need a great big crutch for it, don't we? And so if I seem redundant on this church thing, I'm sorry. But it's something that keeps getting looked over. And I can't have it be looked over in my mind when I look at God's Word. That's for sure. Now, my second point today is that to be loyal to Christ is essential for our relationship with Jesus Himself. Being loyal to Christ is essential for our relationship. You say, well, of course it is. So along with that line of course it is, and where we might think that, how many times do we see somebody that gets saved, and then it's like, I'm born again and I can do whatever I want to do now? It's one of the things where people say, well, that proves it right there, that you're really not once saved, always saved, because those people that believe that, they automatically start misbehaving, going, okay, I'm saved, so now I can do whatever I want. That's not true. That's not true, because when we look at this here, one of the beautiful things about being a Christian is our relationship with Jesus. And we can't have a good, solid relationship with Jesus if we're like careless about our relationship. If you don't believe me, here's an example. Try that in your marriage. Man, I love being married, but I could care less whether or not that there's any accountability in that marriage. See how that works. It doesn't work, and it doesn't work in any relationship. If I'm in a business relationship with somebody and we're doing business together and they're a liar, I don't want to do business with them, do you? And so the relationship actually is the thing that really is involved with our loyalty to Jesus, that's for sure. How are we made righteous anyway? How are we made righteous anyway? We're made righteous by Jesus. And so out of appreciation, the process of sanctification is the thing that really shows our loyalty to Jesus, our willingness to want to be pleasing to Him. I want to make Jesus happy. I don't want to make Him mad or sad or upset. And along those lines, this is really important. So many people try to serve Jesus by thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that. How about I make Jesus happy because it means something to me? Isn't that more authentic? You know, one of the things that people do is no one allowed on the lawn. They'll put the sign up there. No one allowed on the lawn. And what do you see people doing? They'll walk by and they'll go, got my foot on there, you know, and that kind of thing. It's almost like when we have those rules, we try to actually break the rules. But here's the thing. Rather than it being a rule, how about it being an accountable relationship where we love Jesus and He loves us and we're in a church and we love each other and we're all accountable to each other. We're accountable to Jesus and it's a great thing. And therefore, it's not like keep off my lawn kind of relationship, but it's a I love you kind of relationship. Big difference. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense? I hope so. Let's move on in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, the Word of God says this. It goes on and says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. There's some things that we need to cover as far as these verses are concerned. The first thing is that it says, by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. It's by God's grace that we even have this relationship. It's by the grace of God that we even get the opportunity to have a responsibility to serve in a church and all of those things. It's by the grace of God. It's not anything to do with us. So many people think that, man, if we could just get so-and-so in the church, man, we could turn things around. How about the grace of Jesus Christ? Isn't that what we need more than somebody brilliant? Absolutely it is, because that's all we have. That's all we have. And we see here that Paul says, this church here is enriched by God's word. They're enriched by God's word. You see it? One of the things he's talking about there is you're enriched by his word and you get knowledge from it. That's not just wordplay. We are enriched by it. By us actually, by the grace of Jesus, we get the opportunity to be in a relationship with him. And so therefore we look at God's word and it starts enriching us. It starts changing us in that sanctification process. The more we learn about it, the richer we get. We're enriched by it. It makes a huge difference in our lives, doesn't it? And then we start gaining knowledge. We actually start learning a new way to live. We're a new creation. We ought to know how to live, right? And we're enriched by it. And it changes us. And it helps us. And not only does it help us in a church, but it helps us in our marriages. It helps us with our children. It helps us in our business relationships. It helps everything. We're enriched by it. And I talked about the gifts that go along with serving in a church. We get those gifts. There is so much enrichment by following God's word and serving God, isn't there? There's so much enrichment that takes place. But here's another one. In verse 6, there's a really important thing, this is important, the confirmation of Christ in us. The confirmation of Christ in us. You know, Paul says in verse 6 that he says, the testimony of Christ is in you. I want to talk about that for just a quick second here. The first place that I want to refer you to in your notes today is in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Put in your notes John 4, 23 and 24. And listen to this. And this is Jesus. But a time is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. Man, we are getting an opportunity for the Father himself to be worshipers. But I just want to be saved, right? But we want that further accountability of being worshipers. Why? Because it says that the time is coming and it's here now that the true worshipers are going to do what God says and go with him. We get to go with him and be a part of it. And then it goes on in verse 24 and says, God is spirit, and the people who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so we see here the way for us to be accountable is in spirit and in truth. To be born again and operating in God's Spirit and being going through the sanctification process by the truth of God's Word. There's some responsibility and accountability there, isn't there? And then Romans 8, 15 and 16. Before I get to my third and final point, go with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, and let's look at that. In Romans 8, 15 it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry, Abba, Father." The Word of God tells us that we have been adopted by our God. And not only have we been adopted and we are part of His family as far as that's concerned, but we have been taken away from slavery. We have been enslaved by sin. But we've been made free from that. And so those are things that make me accountable. Not that I just do whatever I want to, but I need to realize I've been made free. I'm no longer enslaved by those things. And now I get to be a real worshiper. Now I get to be a child of God. My whole status, your whole status, our entire status has changed, hasn't it? And then it goes on in verse 16 and says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are God's children." That is such an important verse. That verse is a short little verse, and it's so important. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. We get verification. When do we get verification? When we are living in an accountable life. Listen, I got to tell you, if you're doing whatever you want to do and you say, "I've been born again," and you're doing whatever you want to do, you don't know whether or not you really are His child or not. You say, "You can't tell me whether I am or not." You're right, I can't. That's between you and God. But I will tell you one thing. That if you are born again and you are being accountable to Jesus Christ and you're obeying Him and you're trying to serve Him in the way that the Word of God tells you, the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're His child. You won't be going around going, "I wonder." God's Spirit will show up for you. All right, third point. Being loyal to Christ till the day that we go home is essential. We want to be loyal to Christ till the day that we go home. You say, after we go home, then we won't be loyal? Is that when we won't be loyal? No, we'll believe me, when you see heaven, you'll be like going, I'm so glad I was loyal on earth, because this is certainly worth it. You know, and that's the problem right now, is we don't really think about where it's all going to. Man, I'm just living my life and la-di-da and wonderful and all that kind of stuff. But it's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. We want to be loyal to Jesus, preparing for the day that he comes to take us home. Here's a really simple way of putting it. Can you imagine if the trumpet was to blow right now? And let's say you weren't here, you were doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Would you be like going, yay? Or would you be like going, oh my goodness gracious? Why would we react that way? Why would we react that way? We'd react that way because it's like, you know what? God's in charge and we're going to live with him forever. And we should have been living for him all the way through anyhow. I looked at my watch and I have time for this. That's my famous last words, right? I want to steer off the road a little bit. And I'm going to read something in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54 through 62, if you're taking notes. This here is something that has stuck with me for a very long time. Maybe it hasn't stuck with you the way it stuck with me. But I'm going to tell you something. One day I was studying God's Word, and I will never forget how I felt when I read this one day. And I want to try to share it with you now and see if I can revisit that feeling, okay? In Luke 22, verse 54, and this is talking about when Peter denied Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 54, they seized him, being Jesus. They led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat down together, and Peter sat among them. And when a servant saw him sitting in the firelight and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But Peter, he denied it. He said, "Woman, I don't know him." I'm not picking on Peter, by the way. I'm not. But after a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." And he goes, "Man, I am not." And then verse 59, about an hour later, another kept insisting. They kept insisting. "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. "Jesus told you, Peter, this was going to happen. That you're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "Oh no, Lord." And yet, here it is, it's happening. And it happened. And then the Lord, this is the part that haunts me. I want you to put yourself in Peter's shoes for a moment. But look at this. Here's Peter, and he denies him three times after he said he wouldn't. Then the Lord, and I'll just go ahead and say, the Lord Christ Jesus turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Why do I read that? Why is that so haunting to me? Can you imagine telling Jesus, "I'll serve you with everything that I've got and nothing will stop me, I promise you." And we say that with every bit of loyalty that we could possibly stir up in our soul. And then like Peter, we get in a situation where we deny Jesus, we step away from him. Can you imagine having Jesus look you in the eye? Look you in the eye, eyes locked. It says their eyes were locked with each other. And Peter wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because he understood his disloyalty there. He understood that Jesus was right and that he could sit there and brag about his loyalty all he wanted. And yet there was Jesus looking me in the eye and saying, "Man, I guess you didn't do it. I guess you weren't strong, like you said." That one haunts me. Why do I say that in this particular part of my sermon? When Jesus returns, We don't want him to look us in the eye and go, "You're one of my children. What have you been doing?" It's going to happen, brothers and sisters. The trumpet's going to blow, and we're going to go home, and we're going to look Jesus in the eye. And we want to be able to look him in the eye and not go, you know, "Hey, I was awesome." But we want to be look him in the eye and go, "I was giving it everything that I got, Lord. I was giving you everything that I had. The best that I could. I battled with my flesh, and your spirit and your word helped me overcome my flesh, and I served you with every fiber of my being." And I just want to say before I continue here, is that Peter, after this day, after this point, after Jesus was resurrected, from that point on, we don't see Peter doing something like that anymore. Because he knew that Jesus was real. And how about us? Is he real? All right, let's move on and try to finish this thing. 1 Corinthians 1, 7-9 says, "So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." I want to tell you that one of the things that we do when we're faithful to God and his word, and we're faithful as a church, is Paul says, and he was telling this church, he's going, "Hey, you guys be faithful, and you'll never be lacking in the gifts that you need to get the job done." We keep praying, and we keep praying for laborers and more people in this church here, and we keep praying, and we go on outreach, and we do this, and I just want to say, if we'll be faithful, God will give us the gifts that we need to get this done. And this is one of the things that Paul is telling us there. But it will also, listen to this, it will propel us through this life to the day that we lock eyes with Jesus. We need to be propelled to that day. It is so easy for us to want to quit. It's so easy for us to get distracted by the way that the world is going, isn't it? It's so easy. But we don't want it to be easy to fall away. We want to be loyal. We want to be accountable. And we want to be a church that's pleasing to God also. And so this here tells us that Paul is telling them if they'll be faithful and they'll do what the Word of God tells them, that we will be propelled to the day that we look Jesus in the eye. And that's what we need. And that's what drives me. And that's what should drive you. And that's what should drive this church. You know, that means the person that says, "I'll live for Jesus whenever he comes back. That's when I'll do it." That doesn't work. That's not good enough. And that's not what Paul's talking about here. Here's one of the things that we need to look at as we wrap this thing up here. I want to call this the assurance test. The assurance test. And I got to blow through this pretty quick because I realize where I'm at on time. This is the assurance test. The first one that I want to share with you is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears," when Jesus appears, "we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." There was something about the guy that saw Jesus in Revelation and walked with him and served with him. He says that we don't want to shrink when he comes back. There should be something where we're like going, "Oh, praise the Lord, he's here finally." And he goes on and says, "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." This is where we need to be. We need to be sure that we are practicing that way. And the way that we do that is to truly serve God. If we've been born again, to serve him with everything that we got and work in the church and be involved in those things and be accountable to God and be accountable to each other. And therefore, we'll get that confirmation that Romans 8:16 tells us that we'll get. It wasn't just Romans 8:16. It says that. It says so right here too. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so are we. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." That tells us that when there's a desire in our bodies and our souls to want to be pleasing to Jesus, when there's that desire there, that is a real telltale sign that we have asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior and He lives in us. And I want to tell you, when we are faithful and accountable, then we live in that moment, every moment of our lives, and that's where we want to be. We don't want to be in moments where we're not sure because we're so far away that we don't feel anything. We want to be ready for when He comes back. That's the point. You know, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:8 through 10, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, what qualities? Growth and accountability and loyalty. If these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. And listen to this, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. One of the things we do whenever we don't live for his coming, but we live as if we'll just serve him when he does come, is we forget that we've been delivered from our sins. We get confused. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. And if you practice these qualities, and I love this. This is Peter, the guy that we just read about. You will never fail. So, God is faithful. God is faithful. We're to be faithful. We want to be a local church that's faithful. And we want to be in a local church that we actually get the help that we need. So, loyalty and faithfulness and accountability all happens when we are in walking fellowship with Jesus Christ and in fellowship with each other. You know, marriages need loyalty and faithfulness. Businesses need that. Lord knows teams need that. Our troops need that. Our friendships need that. And our church needs that. And I just want to tell you that there is something beautiful about God and people and a church and all of that working together in fellowship, propelling us to the very end. There's something beautiful about that. It's not something to be scorned and go, well, I don't need it, and there's a bunch of nonsense there. There's nonsense everywhere. But we can come together and get rid of the nonsense, can't we? And we can help each other get to the very end. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is completely faithful. But are we faithful? Are we loyal? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And I know I'm jumping into 1 Corinthians, and we'll see this again. But it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. Everywhere that we go, we've been born again if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We are a temple, and so therefore, our job is to glorify God with this body. All the way to the end. All the way to where He comes back, right? So, what I'm saying is it's not what I want to do, or I do what I want to do, but it's what do I do in partnership with Jesus? What do I do in partnership with Jesus? What do I do with partnership with Jesus in my marriage? What do I do with my partnership with Jesus in my business? What do I do with Jesus in my partnership with Jesus at school? It's all about our partnership with Jesus. And I want to tell you, a local church is a big part of it. How do I know? Because Jesus is the one that established it. And so we need each other too. We do. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Don't do this and do this. If we're in partnership with Jesus and in a partnership with His Word, we don't have to worry about do's and don'ts. It's pure love, relationship, action. You know, I got to be careful with this one. But it's not a matter of my wife saying, I really wish you wouldn't go play golf all the time. You know, you're never home because you're always playing golf all the time. It's really not that. It's really more of, man, I want to see her. I want to do something with her. Maybe she wants to go play golf with me. I don't know. We've tried it before, right? We've tried it before. But that's not the point. The point is it's not a matter of do's and don'ts and I'm going to get in trouble with my wife if I do this, and or I'm not going to get in trouble. It's I love her. I don't want to be in. I don't want to even think about being in trouble. I want to love her, and I just want to love Jesus. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to worry about being in trouble, Jesus. I'll just read His Word, and I'll be in a relationship with Him, and it'll be a great, wonderful thing where He's working in me, and I'm working with Him, and we're a part of a church, and we're working together. It's not a matter of do and don't. We're called saints. And we're accountable in our relationships. And one of the things that we see, brothers and sisters, is we are in a fellowship circle, in a partnership, in a relationship circle with Jesus and the church and all of it working together and all of us together. We're all interrelated in this thing. And it propels us to the day that the trumpet blows. And that's how it works. And that's what Paul's telling the church at Corinth. He said, hey, let's get it tuned up and let's do it right. And that's the word for us today. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that Your word will continue to change us in the ways that it's supposed to. And Lord, we just thank You for that. Lord, we want to walk with You and we want to be in a relationship with You every moment of our lives. Lord, we want to be a church that's bringing glory to You. Lord, I pray that You'll give us the opportunity to live these things out that we're studying, that we'll live these things out as a church, that You'll give us those opportunities. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be the individuals in the church that You want us to be. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here right now today in this service, Lord, that doesn't know You as their Savior, doesn't know Your Son Jesus, hasn't been born again, hasn't been made a child of Yours yet. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit right now will convict them and show them this is what You want more than anything, that Your Son paid the price where they could have eternal life. Lord, I pray if there's someone here right now that needs that, that needs salvation, Lord, I pray that You'll move in their hearts, that Your Spirit will convict them mightily, and they'll receive You today as receive Your Son Jesus as their Savior. So Lord, Father, I pray that You'll be glorified that way today. If there's somebody here, I pray that You'll move in their hearts mightily. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.